Today, we're joined by functional medicine health practitioner Tiffany Campbell Kaloustian. Join us as Tiffany shares not only her profound personal story of battling and overcoming lupus and conceiving her children, but also how she uses her expertise to change lives daily. Tiffany's personal journey battling severe lupus has fueled her passion for helping others find their path to wellness. She is well-versed in a variety of holistic healing modalities, including nervous system regulation, vagal tone, nutrition, detoxing, mindful practices, movement, and purposeful supplement protocols. Get ready to be inspired by a practitioner who truly embodies the spirit of embracing life's challenges and dancing through them with grace and strength. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Staying truly deeply hydrated with minerals while trying to conceive, during pregnancy and birth, and throughout your breastfeeding journey is very important. And nowadays, there are more options for this than we can even count. For Dr. Leah and I, ingredient quality is of top concern, and that's why we love Relight electrolyte powders by Redmond Real Salt. Relight contains Redmond's ancient unrefined sea salt, which contains 60 plus trace minerals in and of itself. Relight powders conveniently contain the appropriate proportions and forms of calcium, potassium, chloride, and even two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavor is strawberry lemonade. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off your order of any of the other products that Redmond has to offer, including their OG sea salt, other seasoning salts, natural toothpaste, bentonite clays, and more. Happy hydrating.
Okay, Tiffany, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. I'm so excited for you to share your story. I think it's really powerful to hear from someone who's been through the trenches and has done the work and come out on the other side. So for our listeners, can you just kind of share a little bit about you? And we're going to be talking about your story during this whole podcast, but maybe what started everything with you, like what symptoms you were experiencing, what was going on, just kind of, I guess, start from the beginning.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for having me. It's so wonderful being on your podcast. Yeah, so, you know, I grew up in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, and, you know, had just a wonderful, wonderful, you know, childhood. And, you know, things happen to everybody. You know, we all experience certain things in life, right? But when I really started to look and dive deeper into certain traumas that happened, it really kind of made sense why I started to exhibit autoimmune symptoms when I was quite young. So if I just backtrack a little bit, like I said, my parents were very loving. I have a wonderful, huge family that were always so supportive of each other. But there are things that were beyond my control. You know, everybody goes through certain, waves in their life, highs and lows. But I never put the pieces together of the puzzle to understand why I started to develop inflammation and flares and joint pain and fatigue when I was in my late teens.
Oh, wow.
So if I back up a little bit, I can identify 8 main triggers. And those 8 main traumas, so to speak, would, you know, really go back to, you know, when I was 4, I almost drowned. And, you know, that I think can jolt anybody. And that still resonates, that still lives in your nervous system. Whether you don't think about it or not, it's still there. Shortly after that, my parents divorced. Shortly after that, my grandfather passed away, quite tragically. And then shortly after that, some time after that, my first boyfriend, who I really loved, I really fell in love with him, he passed away with a brain aneurysm.
Oh,
keep in mind, sorry. I was still quite young. I wasn't even in college yet. Then I moved away to college. I left the island that I lived on, a very small town, to California. with people I didn't know, disconnected from my family and friends. All of this was really hard for me. Fast forward a few years later, my dad was diagnosed with cancer and passed away 6 months later. And a year after that, I lost my grandmother, both my grandmothers. So honestly, it makes sense that my timeline, I was diagnosed with lupus the next year. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease a year later. And I feel like autoimmunity is like a dis-ease, right? I don't like to say it's a disease. I just feel like there's some dis-ease going on in my body. And when I was diagnosed, yes, it was a huge hit. I was so young. I was really a few years out of college. I had just had my first baby. And like I said, none of these symptoms really made sense to me until when I got that diagnosis. Something in my brain went, you've got to look at your history. You've got to look at your life. What happened? And what I realized is what all of those traumas had in common was connection. I lost connection in every single one of those things I experienced. And it all piled up, and I never dealt with it. I kind of just brushed it under the rug. My heart would break over and over again, but I never had the modalities to process it. So I never fully dealt with it. And I just feel, and so here's the, I don't want to say necessarily irony, but when I was diagnosed with lupus SLE and I learned more about it, I realized that lupus SLE is a connective tissue disease. So I felt like I lost those connections, right? Piling one after the other. I did not have a positive relationship with my stepmother. She was also a contributing factor to a lot of the pain, emotional pain that I lived with starting at 5 years old. And when you are that young and you are yearning for, a second mother figure, right? I adore my mom. My mom's my best friend. My dad and I were so close. And then to be mistreated, it didn't make sense to a 5-year-old, right? So, what I did the moment I was diagnosed with quote unquote lupus, with an autoimmune disease, I never wanted to own that diagnosis. I said, okay, I believe that our bodies are designed to heal and that we can heal if we give it what it needs. And so it didn't dawn on me right away what work I had to do, with my nervous system, with releasing trauma, processing certain things that I went through in my life. But as I studied functional medicine more and more, it became clear to me that, that there are kind of, it's kind of like a square, right? There are like four different points that can trigger an autoimmune disease. It could be environmental toxins, that are everywhere, our food supply, right? Genetically modified glyphosate, pesticides. Oh, you know it, right? And so even though I grew up, in Hawaii, people just think everything is organic. No, we have grocery stores just like everybody else. We had a microwave. We would microwave stuff in plastic. Like, what? And I fell for that Teflon like rage and had Teflon pans and, oh, this is the greatest thing, nonstick. So I was in that, like, I bought into all of the advertisement and the gadgets and the things, right? So yeah, so the environmental toxins, food can play a factor. Of course, genetic predisposition, but epigenetics plays a larger role in my opinion. Epigenetics. Like, what are the other factors? Because even though you may have a susceptibility or a predisposition to develop something in your life, you only have less than 20% of developing it. It's the other factors that kind of tip it over. And so, trauma and stress, that plays a huge role in turning on those quote unquote genes, right? And also dysbiosis. And it could also be, the gut-brain axis is directly connected. So if you're exhibiting trauma, if you have any trauma you haven't processed, it's going to affect your gut-brain axis, your vagus nerve. So guess what? All of those, it's kind of like a glass is half full with water, right? But when you pour rocks in or ice cubes, what happens to the water? It rises, and then at one point, that one last pebble makes the glass run over with water, right? And that's when you're diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. So to
And
me,
can I back up and ask you, because I know you've
yeah.
done a lot of training and education, and for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, epigenetics is when the environment or your lifestyle can influence the expression of your genes. So when you're saying turn on that autoimmune gene, when you're saying a genetic predisposition, sometimes you can have this potential in your body, but it's these things like the toxins you're mentioning, the trauma, the dysbiosis, or the bad bacteria or microbiome imbalances that can turn on the gene, quote unquote, for an autoimmune disease for anyone who doesn't understand that. So it sounds like you know so much now and you've learned so much at the time of your diagnosis. Like, how long did it actually take you to get diagnosed? Was that quick? Because I know a lot of people have these vague, kind of bizarre symptoms and their doctors don't take them seriously. And it's one of the questions that was asked on my Instagram is, how did you get doctors to take you seriously? What was your experience with that? Was it immediately people are like, oh, yep, you have lupus, like not even a question? Or did you have to go to a few people first? Can you kind of back up to that for people who are maybe in your experience right now, having the symptoms, but not knowing what's happening?
Absolutely. No, I wasn't diagnosed right away. I'm happy this question was asked. I started going to the doctor when I first exhibited inflammation and odd pain, joint pain. And like, I was a runner. I was in volleyball. I was a dancer. Like I was just so active. You know, I hiked. I was always out doing things. I never felt joint pain. I was in college. And we talked about that was, kind of when I started to exhibit symptoms. Went to the doctor there, ran blood panels on me, and this was his answer. He says, "You are young, you are healthy, you look." This is he always said, "You look healthy."
You look healthy.
I was slender. I fit, the quote unquote profile of looking healthy. But I said to him, "I don't feel well." He says, "Well, you have two markers of abnormality, but they're only two. The rest of them are normal. So you're just stressed out. You're a college student. I recently joined a sorority because, like I said, I just felt so disconnected from my family and friends. I wanted to belong. I wanted to find a group of girls to just be like my home away from home." So he said, "You're just stressed." Well, Dr. Leah, that was not helpful.
I'm sure not.
And
And so
basically,
many people are told that. So I'm so glad that you brought that up because yes, stress plays a role in illness, but when someone feels bad and like you know it in your body that something's wrong, it's just so sad that doctors dismiss that. And I just want to give hope to people that if you are struggling to keep going. So tell me about your journey. So two markers were off. Did he even tell you what the markers were, or was he just like, you're
So
fine?
that I literally just felt like he looked at me like, I just want her out of my office. I have more important clients to get to or patients. And he gave me my blood work. So I have my blood work, but I had no idea what they meant. So I saw the abnormal. I didn't know what they meant. He didn't go over that with me because, according to him, it happens. A lot of people have those abnormal results. Well, it turns out my C-reactive protein and my ANA were
Oh,
abnormal.
that's so
Two, one of
important.
the two. Oh, I know. So had I known then what that means, because I didn't study functional medicine until years later, I didn't know what CRP was. I didn't know what ANA, and my dsDNA was moderately positive. All of those are red flags for an autoimmune quote unquote disease, right? Connective tissue disorder. Something is going on. So what that means is that my immune system was misidentifying antigens as self tissue. So, like, I could eat gluten or I could have smoke. Autoimmune, where my immune system would activate and think that those were, let me try to explain. So, some the receptor sites for many things that we inhale or eat, ingest, right? The receptor sites very closely match that of our self tissue, our lungs, our heart, kidney, et cetera, right? And our tissues, our joints. So it made perfect sense that the connective tissue, my body was, I don't want to say attacking because I don't really like that word, but my immune system was misidentifying the self tissue as an antigen. And I didn't know that. So had I known, right? I don't ever want to look back and say I coulda, woulda, shoulda, but I would have looked at my diet. I would have cleaned up the toxins around me. I would have done so much. But I was, what, 18, 19 years old, But so as I became, just fast forward a little bit, and we can always backtrack. In my practice, I built a custom connective tissue bundle. Instead of bouncing from doctor to doctor to doctor, because I wasn't diagnosed till my 20s, my early 20s, when my first son was born. After my first son was born, things got worse. My symptoms just accelerated. And I had to go to a rheumatologist, an endocrinologist, an immunologist. Finally, I was, oh, you are diagnosed now with an autoimmune disease. And by that time, it was so progressed that my organs were close, a few of my organs were close to failure. My cardiolipin was extremely high. My organ function was low. My white blood cell count was below 2 billion. That
Wow.
is, I had to go in for chemo, intensive immunotherapy chemo to stop my immune system from overreacting. It was that
Wow.
bad. But in my practice now, I created a bundle so that clients do not have to go through years of wondering. I can run a full panel, and there's so many tests. I mean, I don't have to go into all of them, but tests that can really give me as a practitioner a closer look at what's going on in their body and what areas of their body are kind of being are the most inflamed. Like, is it your thyroid? Is it your kidney function? Is it your heart? And I dive deep into hormone health too, because that all plays a role. Gut health, all of that plays a role, as well as those significant markers that quote unquote fit the criteria for an autoimmune disease. So yeah, I'm hoping, to save my clients just years of wondering and hopping from specialist to specialist, because Dr. Leah, that you go to one specialist, they won't run all the panels you need.
No.
You're going to have to
So
go to another
annoying.
doctor, and then they order just a small amount, and then you go to another doctor and they order a small amount. And if you request certain labs run, they respectfully say they can't. That's not in their realm.
Yeah,
So
they
you
don't
have to go
understand
see
it.
someone else.
I know.
So the
It's so
best that I can
silly. It's a
offer.
silly model, and conventional medicine has its place, especially for certain things, certain acute things and various other things. But I don't feel that they do chronic complex illness or disease very well. They don't do autoimmunity very well because there's so much more to it than just let's shut down the immune system, which is sort of the approach with, biologics and other medications. So it sounds like at 18 you were dismissed by your doctor. And did you go to other doctors to try to figure things out, or it was just you got pregnant and after your pregnancy you're like, oh boy, something's going on, and that's kind of when you were diagnosed?
Yeah, exactly. Because I was told, I didn't want to be that person, quote unquote, who keeps going to the doctor. Well, something is wrong with me. And I kept telling myself, it's in your head, Tiffany. Like, they're telling you you're fine, so you're fine. But I knew I wasn't, right? And so when I was pregnant with my first, I started my blood work with him started to come back abnormal. So they thought something was wrong with the baby. But it was actually my antibodies that they were picking up. It was my immune system that was now revved up, potentially threatening the pregnancy.
Do you remember what
Because
they
I wasn't,
ran? Do you remember what they
no, I
ran?
remember, I don't remember, but
Or
I
why
was
they
so,
ran it? Because typically they don't check antibodies during pregnancy, but were there symptoms or something that were warranting that?
no. So that's the weirdest thing. I went for a routine blood test, and I wish I had those records. I didn't. I don't have those. But all I remember is whatever blood test I ran, the nurse called my work, and at the time I was working in an elementary school, and my principal said called me into her office and said, "You need to go home. Your doctor, basically, she basically excused me to leave work, and she's going to get me a substitute because there's not so great news about the baby. And I'm thinking, what's going on with my
Oh my
baby?
gosh, yeah.
So I wish I knew exactly what it was.
Yeah,
I
that's
did
okay.
not really ask, but I just followed what she told me to do. And I ended up having a very, very risky procedure done. Remember, I'm like in my early 20s. I
Yeah.
had an amniocentesis.
Yeah.
And the amniocentesis scared me because I had to sign a disclosure. I had to sign the paperwork that there's a risk of a miscarriage. I didn't really know why I was doing it. I didn't advocate for myself enough. I
Yeah.
didn't advocate for myself enough in college because I didn't really know how to. And I was so young. This pregnancy was my first. I was scared. So I didn't question all of these procedures. Turns out, thank God, my baby was fine.
Yeah.
And then they ended up diving deeper and they're like, well, there's something going on with you. You are a high-risk pregnancy. Basically, I'd recommend for you to be on bed rest for most of your pregnancy. And luckily, I delivered him. I had placenta previa, but I delivered him okay, thankfully, no major complications. So that was a blessing because this was before I had an autoimmune diagnosis.
Right,
So the
right.
doctors wouldn't know how to treat me like kind of more gently, so to speak, in the pregnancy realm to be more cautious because I didn't have the diagnosis. So, I Western medicine, when I was first diagnosed, there's a place, just like you said, Western medicine saved my life because I was put on an intense treatment plan. I was put on medication and my immune system kind of like was able to exhale. My inflammation went down. However, I exhibited almost all of the side effects. So I wasn't thriving on the medication. And that is when I knew that my body can, I felt like, okay, there's a reason behind this. Let me become my own detective, my own advocate. Let me figure out what's going on in my body so my body can heal. I don't ever tell any client, stop your medication. I don't tell anybody to do that. I made that personal decision for myself because I was actually getting worse on my meds. And I decided to take a leave of absence off of work. I had a very young child, but you know what? When I had all that time, I found functional medicine. So the time that I took away from my quote unquote busy, busy job, right? I had time to reflect on my body. I had time to listen to my body. I had time to learn, more about, so what is autoimmunity? Where does it stem from? What are some holistic methods? How does the body work? What is the gut-brain axis? I mean, I learned all of that. And Dr. Leah, I didn't even think about the fact that I was put on birth control pills at 15.
Oh,
Why?
yeah.
Because I had irregular periods. And I listened to the doctor. Okay, I was put on ortho-tricyclin. And then guess what? Had acne for the first time in my life, right? So it's like, what's acne? Oh, I have it now. And it's like, and then they give you topical medicine to cure your acne when they, instead of looking at what the birth control pill is doing to you. So, and that in itself, birth control pills can really damage your gut microbiome.
Yeah,
So
and
I think,
lupus, for people who don't know, and you can speak to this too, lupus
yeah.
is an autoimmune condition, but it also has hormonal components and estrogen
Absolutely.
and birth control, and even pregnancy can worsen certain autoimmune conditions. And so it's interesting, and I'm curious for you if your symptoms, I think you did share that they got a lot worse after pregnancy, but that's common, unfortunately, for women. And so our podcast is all about becoming and being a mother. And I'm glad that we're having this conversation because for some people, they might have subtle symptoms or they might not even have any symptoms before pregnancy, but maybe during or especially after they might start exhibiting symptoms because of certain ways that pregnancy goes. The hormones can trigger certain things. There's a lot that's happening, but sometimes autoimmunity can either be turned on, that epigenetic turn on, or get worse from pregnancy. Sometimes pregnancy can heal things too, but typically in the autoimmune space, we do and can see a flare, especially if we haven't gotten to the root cause. So I just want to highlight that for people and you especially because you had a pregnancy and then you were diagnosed, which isn't uncommon, unfortunately, for some people, but you had a lot of symptoms before that, and it's very possible your pregnancy actually worsened, you know, lupus. So you basically started diving into the world of functional medicine, learning about all of these things. Did you work with a practitioner, or were you kind of doing it all on your own?
I did it on my own. Well, for the first part. So I started very basic. I started basic as, got my certification as a health coach. And then I, took master classes. And then I got a functional health practitioner certification. And then naturopathy certification. And then functional medicine certification. So I started learning on my own. However, during the midway point, I found a wonderful practitioner who did like muscle testing and hair analysis, found that I was very deficient in micronutrients, very deficient in many, many key nutrients to help me thrive in autoimmunity. I unfortunately, and I don't want to say unfortunately, but because I think when you're dabbling with your own health, there's no mistakes, you're only learning experiences, right? But I dabbled with veganism because I heard, being vegan, cures X, Y, and Z, and doing this every day, and I won't name specifics, but cures everything. And I tried all the things. Trust me, I tried all the things, and I wasn't improving. In fact, I became very deficient in B, my B vitamins, very deficient in D, and as you know, B and D and iron, those are key, to really strengthening your immune system to combat autoimmune, any kind of autoimmune disease. But I couldn't, I didn't get a grip on it. I like I said, I stopped my medication a few years into taking it. I was on it for a few years, but I also developed premature ovarian insufficiency when I was in my 20s. My period stopped in my 20s, and I had a little baby, a little toddler, and I had no period. And I went to the doctor, and she ran my. She said, "Oh, your hormones are fine. You're estrogen dominant, but overall, you're fine." And I'm like, because I knew I wasn't in menopause. I'm like, what's happening to me? And so I realized that when you're in a state of healing, when you're in a state of chronic inflammation, and your body's trying to survive, you're not ready to have another baby, so you're not going to ovulate. So it's kind of like your body knows what it can do and what you're ready for. And ovulating when I was so inflamed may have resulted in a pregnancy, but I may not have been able to carry to fruition, to complete the pregnancy in a healthy way. My life could have been at jeopardy, and baby's life could have been at jeopardy. But I do remember, like, okay, once my period stopped, I mean, I was without a period for about 8 years.
Wow. And were you vegan this whole time when your period had stopped?
I was a vegan and I was gluten-free because I ran all of the functional medicine tests. I found that I had antibodies to zonulin. I had antibodies to gliadin. I had the antibodies to the wheat protein, right? And so when you ingest wheat, the wheat that we have, the hybridized, non-organic, sprayed with pesticides that most everyone grew up with, not the wheat that's grown in Europe,
You can
that
go eat it
still
and have
before.
no problems. I love it.
It's true because people in Europe, why can they eat? Because their wheat is not hybridized. Their wheat is not genetically modified. It is not sprayed with pesticides. So their body recognizes the protein. Our bodies don't recognize the wheat that we are eating today because it's not the wheat our ancestors ate. So when I already had the genetic predisposition, I had genetic factors, right? That was kind of one of those tipping things that threw my gut microbiome, for a tailspin. So I had extreme gluten sensitivity, extreme antibodies to gluten. Once I stopped, once I changed my diet, once I reintroduced more nutrients into my diet, I began to eat the ancestral diet. I call it ancestral diet because I know my blood type. I feel that that is key for me and for many of my clients. Knowing their blood type and how their ancestors ate really makes sense on the type of food that they can thrive on.
Can you speak to that? Because
And
not everybody maybe
yeah.
understands that. So And you know, your blood type and the ancestral diet, can you just explain a little bit? Because that was one of the other questions on Instagram was what did you do? Obviously, diet, lifestyle, supplements, all of that. But can you speak to the diet of what you brought in?
Yeah, definitely. So diet was definitely one of the key factors. Like I said, I absolutely gave up gluten just because I saw the antibodies and I didn't want to keep reactivating the fire. But what I did is I actually began, I'm an A positive. And so when I dug deeper into what that means, A positive has more of a quote unquote Mediterranean type diet. A lot of fruits and veggies, lean protein, but no red meat. And some people are like, oh, but you need red meat. And like, but my there's certain blood types that cannot process and break down the meat protein effectively. So you're not synthesizing the protein into your body. In fact, you don't have the proper digestive enzymes. So when you don't have the proper digestive enzymes, it can actually create more inflammation, which is counterproductive. So I noticed when I ate more grains, organic grains, because I wanted to make sure I was limiting and minimizing glyphosate pesticides as much as possible. I would rinse and soak my grains if I could sprout them if possible. But yeah, it's basically eggs on occasion, fish on occasion, because our fish supply unfortunately is not optimal. Chicken, turkey, legumes in moderation. A lot of plant-based foods, basically the Mediterranean diet, and I was thriving. And my numbers, my micronutrient numbers normalized. My hair
That's
analysis
great.
normalized. My micronutrient panel normalized. And I felt much better. Keep in mind, now, the test, yes, I'm a provider of Vibrant, but when I was healing, I had a practitioner, kind of going back to your other question, who was a Vibrant practitioner who ran my wheat zoomer, my gut zoomer, toxic burden, right? I wanted to find out the toxins in my body. And a neural zoomer to make sure it wasn't developing into MS. But those were the basic ones that I ran and the micronutrient panel. So once I looked at my numbers and I found what's going on systemically and I ate ancestrally, I had more energy. My period finally came back. And I remember that smile on my face. Dr. Leah, I was like, what girl really like, yes, I got my period. But for me, I was like, I just kept wanting it, because
Yeah,
I wasn't able
it's
to
a
have
sign
another
of
baby.
health. Exactly. If you don't have your period, it means something's seriously wrong. So it makes
Yes,
total sense to
yes.
want your period, in my mind.
Yes, and I wanted it to come back on its own because my OB said, I can give you these medications to induce a bleed. And I said, but does that mean that it's a real period? She says, well, we don't know yet. I'm like, ugh. And I was so tired of being on all these medications. So I was like, I just had faith, honestly, in my journey. And I did make mistakes along the way, but I embraced those mistakes, which is why I call my practice Embracing the Dance of Healing, because you got to laugh at yourself. You have to pick yourself up off the ground and say, I tried this, it didn't work, but now it's on to the next phase. Now it's on to, something new. But it should be rewarding for you instead of beating yourself up. Like, you know what? Now I know. Now I know that something didn't work. Now I know that quote unquote a trend that's all over social media didn't work for me. But it might work for someone else. Which is why I never, ever have a blanket statement saying there is one diet for everybody or there's one protocol for everybody. No, there isn't. There isn't. And like, for example, my husband is a B blood type. So he would not thrive on mainly a Mediterranean vegetarian diet. Like I said, I'm no longer vegan, but I incorporate chicken, turkey, eggs, yogurt. I love like Greek yogurt, my favorite. Like, but he wouldn't be able to thrive that way. He's a meat eater. So, and he does, he likes his steaks and organic, grass-fed, beef and lamb and all those kinds of things. And he thrives on that. So there's science behind ancestral eating. So I do test my clients on blood type because when I guide their nutrition, I do like to know, okay, so ancestrally, let's see where you are,
Yeah, because people who are O's, for example, are do very well with red meat and lots of meat products and
Absolutely.
things like that, whereas the A's, like you mentioned, are more of that vegetarian type. And so, yeah, diet is so individual, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. And that even if someone has an autoimmune condition and they ate this way, doesn't mean that you eating that way is going to help your autoimmune condition. So it is kind of a trial and error. And I love that you brought that up. And I think it's just important for people to know the individuality of it all and not just, oh, this person did this, so I should do this, and I'm still not feeling better.
Yes.
What's going on?
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Did you know that 97% of women in the US take a prenatal supplement, yet 95% plus are still deficient in key nutrients? My favorite prenatal is from a company called Needed because they dose nutrients at levels to not just meet the bare minimum as most prenatals do. They actually use form of nutrients in dosages that allow mama and baby to thrive. Needed actually approached me years ago and asked me if I could help them design the perfect prenatal because they knew that the current prenatals available were not actually helping women. We spent over 3 years diving into the research and understanding what practitioners are seeing and what women actually need at this important season before we formulated this amazingly supportive option. It's no wonder over 4,000 practitioners now recommend Needed, something I am very proud of. If you have followed me for a while, you know that prenatals and optimizing nutrients starts long before pregnancy, so no matter where you are along your fertility or motherhood journey, Needed is the brand I recommend. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% on your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Okay, back to the show.
Yes, and really quickly, I did test myself for food sensitivities, and my food sensitivities were off the chart, but that is because I had to heal my microbiome.
Yeah.
Once I healed my microbiome, my food sensitivities went away. So
That's
clients
amazing.
need to understand, people who need to understand is, sometimes they come saying, I can't eat anything without digestive distress. Then I
Yeah.
know we really have to start in the gut, right? Healing begins there. 70% of our serotonin, our neurotransmitters, are produced in our gut. We really have to start there, right? And then everything else, the food sensitivities tend to go away once that's addressed. But it's so funny. I do have some A positive clients who are like, that is why I get a stomach ache when I eat a steak. That
Yeah.
is why I feel so yucky when I eat a burger, those kinds of things. There are exceptions. There are some A's who are like, don't tell me I have to give up red meat. And so I never say anything. I never say, what I'm telling you, you have to do. I always give
Right.
clients choice. Always give them choice.
Exactly.
But oftentimes when they stop eating it, they're like, oh my goodness, guess what? My inflammation went away. My digestion's better. I'm sleeping better. So those kinds of things. So yeah, once I started to just clear the toxins from my body, I did, oh gosh, Dr. Lee, I did so many things, it's like saunas and grounding and all the things you talk about too, on your podcast about, cleaning up and try to being as toxic to minimize your toxins as much as possible. I did all the things and it took time, right? There are a few investments, air purifiers here and there, but so worth it.
Yeah.
And then my body just slowly began to come back to life. I had more energy. I became certified in this new realm of functional medicine and then had to debate, do I want to go back to, doing something I loved in the past, but this was my new purpose. This was my new why. Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And I just felt like, after my period came back, I did have that voice in my head saying, but you have lupus, right? And I'm like, in my head, I let that negative mindset say, so you can't get pregnant. Remember what the doctor said, you have lupus, you're infertile now, you have POI, you are not going to ovulate again. So just accept it. And so I lived my life happy with, the progress I had made. My lupus diagnosis, quote unquote, was actually reversed.
Wow.
Like, legitimately, the doctor says, wow, your numbers, like, you don't have the XYZ markers for the typical lupus SLE. However, you still have a connective tissue disorder. It's just unspecified. And which means in the medical realm, they exclude it. So I said to him, he says, don't worry about it. is that you're feeling better. You know, I found a new doctor, by the way, because I wanted to see, like, I wanted to see, because yes, I'm a functional medicine practitioner. Yes, I'm a naturopath. But I wanted to see in the medical realm with a rheumatologist, how would he deem it? So I wanted to compare what I was seeing in my body and what he would say. But I still have to be mindful because I still have triggers. You know, I still find that if I'm just at an event and there's lots of perfume or cologne or a cigarette smoke or just stuff, I just don't feel well. You know, I do, that kind of tips me. I have to really watch. I have to avoid certain food triggers. So I have to be very mindful of that. But yeah, I had the biggest surprise of my life when I thought that, you know, I wasn't able to get pregnant again. And I wasn't feeling well one day. And I was extra moody, like to the point where my son and my husband were just like not wanting to be around me too much. I was just like annoying. And I was like, do you think you are, Tiffany? And I took a pregnancy test and I saw two lines right away. And I tears welled up in my eyes, first of all. I couldn't believe it. So guess what I did? Because there were those strips. I took another one and another one. I took three.
Wow.
By the end of the day, I had taken seven. I was like, is this too good to be true? Like, am I really, has my body reached that point of healing where my body now feels safe enough to ovulate again, to where I'm strong enough to carry a baby? Like, my whole world just shifted. Like, and I remember just falling to my knees and I said a prayer and I said, I'm like, I literally prayed and I was like, okay, Lord, this is why you allowed this to happen in my life. I had to go through this. I had to go through the healing the way I went through it. I had to find this functional, holistic way of healing in order to get pregnant again.
That's amazing.
I
that
don't
makes me want to cry.
It still does till this day when I think about it. And because had I not found functional medicine, Dr. Leia, because I was not thriving on the medication, you know, had I stayed on the medication, I just don't think that I would be in the situation where I'd be celebrating my second son's birth. Because, you know, I would, like you said, just being on medication, it kind of blankets it. And it's like, we're not finding the root cause. We're not finding why our body is reacting and acting this way. And so just by slowing down and being mindful and advocating for myself and finding support groups and, you know, nurturing myself, giving myself just that extra love and sleep and, you know, learning, constant learning, growing in the functional medicine world is truly why I believe I got that positive pregnancy test. My husband just about fell to the floor. He was watching F1. He's an F1 fanatic. And I got the positive pregnancy test in the middle of the race. And I was like yelling at him to come upstairs. And he obviously didn't know why. And he's like, can it wait? No. And he's like, Tiffany, this is the live race. I said, I don't care. Pause it.
That's amazing.
So he comes upstairs. Yeah, I'll never forget. He comes upstairs and it's like his favorite racer is about to win. And he's like, what is so important? And I showed him the strip. He didn't quite know what he was looking at first. And then he looked at me and I looked at him kind of like, look at it carefully, figure it out. And we both cried. Yeah. So, I mean, his name is Samuel, is, as well as Aiden, because Aiden is my first. And being that I didn't know I had an autoimmune disease then, you know, I'm so happy that my body was strong enough to carry that pregnancy, right? And with Samuel, you know, his birth was just a reminder that our bodies can heal. He was a reminder to me that all of the stuff that I went through was worth it. You know, all of the tears, all of the frustration, all of the why me's, all of the Will I always be sick? Will I, you know, never live the life I used to live before? All of that was worth it because I was able to shift my mindset and pick myself up off the ground on those days that I couldn't move, the days where I was in so much pain, the days where I just felt like my body was failing me.
Right.
But remembering, okay, I've got my little boy to fight for. At that time, Aiden was really little, so I don't care how sick I felt or how much pain I was in. I was getting out of bed.
Yeah.
I have a baby to take care of. I have a toddler to take care of. So I'm getting myself up, right? And so he was my motivation to just keep fighting. But, you know, I had this determination to just figure out what was, you know, causing all of this. And part of what I do in my practice is I work on your nervous system.
Yeah.
I think nervous system regulation, autonomic nervous system health, vagal nerve health is so important to healing. Healing past traumas, really
Yeah.
digging deep with my clients and talking to them. Like, Dr. Leah, there was a time in my life where I don't have a memory of my parents getting a divorce. I
Wow.
locked that whole year of my life out.
Yeah.
And I remember one doctor said, I could refer you to a hypnotherapist. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to relive it.
Yeah.
You know, like my I was like, I don't want to relive it. You know, but there's a whole period of my life where my mom says, do you remember this? Do you remember that? I'm like, no.
Wow.
So my entire preschool life blocked out, except for one person. And she was my best friend. And we're still in touch today. We're still friends. But I only remember her.
Wow.
She was like
Isn't
my
that
safety
amazing?
blanket. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel
Yeah.
like autoimmunity, well, in so many, you know, when we talk about, you know, why did this person get cancer? Why does this person have autoimmune disease? Why does this person have infertility? You know, one analogy that a teacher of mine explained once was we all sort of have, there's a ladder, right, of health, and everyone sort of has that weak link, that weak rung, which is our genetic predisposition. And, you know, then we have the triggers in the environment, whether it's diet, like you said, toxins, microbiome issues. You went to Southeast Asia and ate the street food and got sick, which is like so common in my practice.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you went to Thailand and ate the street food? Like, you know, or I was worse from, you know, just people will get parasites or whatever. Sometimes that's their trigger for autoimmunity. But more often than not, what I see in practice is mental emotional stressors as the trigger that turns that on. But for some people, it turns on the cancers. For some people, it turns on autoimmunity. For some people, it turns on, you know, some other imbalance. And so that is just so interesting why certain people have more of a propensity to get certain things. But at the end of the day, the root cause of what kind of triggers all of it is sort of the same. It sort of all boils down to the same. And at the root of all of that, like you said, is so much of that nervous system dysregulation and that mental emotional trauma. And I think it's such a missing part of our society. And for me personally, the work I've done and my husband too, and people in my practice and family, it's so much deeper than just talk therapy. Like, what kind of stuff have you done for trauma support? Because I think it's such a big part of no matter what imbalance or disease or, you know, issue someone's struggling with, I feel like that's such an important part is healing that part. Do you have any tips or recommendations or what you did personally to help go there?
Yeah. Happy you asked that. So let me start initially. I began to tap, you know, the EMF tapping, but that would only help me get out of the fight or flight and dorsal in that moment.
Yep.
So, but that was helpful because if I was having an anxiety or panic attack with my flare-ups or pain in my body, the tapping would help. But I never was able to release any trauma. It wasn't until I was introduced to a practitioner who was studying in the Polyvagal Institute with Dr. Stephen Porges that it intrigued me. I was like, tell me more. So she talked to me about it. I completed a course of the Safe and Sound Protocol with her, and I was hooked. And I said, I want to learn more because I want to become certified. So I began studying through, you know, Dr. Porges's curriculum, the polyvagal theory, got certified in the Safe and Sound Protocol. And it was amazing. And essentially what it does, it's an integrated listening system. So it involves, it could be wireless headset, or it could be, you know, over the ear headset with a plug into your phone. And the app that is downloaded has integrated music that is targeted to your nervous system waves. So it works on your autonomic nervous system. It basically is a nourishing, strengthening program where it reminds your brain, reminds your nervous system how to be calm, how to not stay in the sympathetic and not stay in dorsal. So dorsal is complete shutdown, right? And sympathetic is fight or flight. And so what it does is it really calms your nervous system to where you, if you encounter any kind of trigger, whatever it may be, that your body, your nervous system remembers how to go back to the parasympathetic, the rest, digest, repair, right? Because we can't heal in our life, and we can't be productive to our best ability unless we are in the rest, restore, repair, and heal phase, right? So what I did is I went through three courses on my own. It took me 1 year. I would do one round. I would take a break. I would do another session, take a break. It's kind of like going to a chiropractic, chiropractor. You would need adjustments here and there, right? But not every day. And so what it does is it, I would think of something that I experienced in my life. And while I'm listening to that integrated music, I would mentally say to myself, I forgive this person, or I'm letting it go, or I'm releasing it from my body. I'm not connected to it anymore, because, you know, I had a connective tissue disease. So I wanted to release that feeling of brokenness in my connective tissue. I wanted to find that connection again and heal my body. So I would have to bring up things that I didn't want to think about, but then release it. Or I would have to think about my boyfriend that I had in college that I love so deeply, and talk to him and tell him the things that I wish that I said before he passed, and release it.
Yeah.
So that I wasn't holding on to that pain, or say goodbye to my grandfather, or say the things to my dad that I wish that I had said. Because he went so fast. His cancer took him 6 months after he was diagnosed.
Oh,
I didn't have time. I thought I had more time. And Aiden was just a baby. He doesn't remember his grandfather. So being that you will always have these emotions where your heart hurts, what it does is your nervous system no longer holds on to it as trauma.
Right.
And so you release it, you cry, you talk to them, you acknowledge the person who, maybe there was a person in your life that hurt you. So you bring it up and you release it while you're listening to that music. And what it does is every time that that person or that thought comes up, your nervous system is now prepared to let it go, so that you're not in that dorsal and sympathetic state. And it's been powerful.
I love that. That is powerful. I love that so much. And I think it's so helpful to have these practical tools, because, you know, in my experience, I found doing work like that and other forms of that kind of work is like the most powerful. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I think, you know, people often just want like, well, what supplement did you take, or what things? And it's just like, sometimes really root cause healing involves so much more than that and going deeper. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing your journey and your story. I feel like it's so powerful and gives people so much hope, especially those who maybe are struggling with an autoimmune disease or have been diagnosed post-baby, wondering if they'll ever be able to conceive again. Like, you have such an inspirational story, and I'm just so, so grateful for you sharing that with me and with our audience. And can you just share with people how they can connect with you if they want to work with you? Tell us all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is www.embracingthedance.com. So it's, my practice is actually called Embracing the Dance of Healing, but embracingthedance.com is my website. And my Instagram is tiff_ara_cal. And my husband's name is Ara, in case everyone's like, that's interesting. So I just kind of put his name, my name, and, you know, part of our last name in my in my name. So yeah, that's how they can find me. And I welcome messages. I do a lot of stories where I answer DMs. I kind of base my stories based on what clients or anybody kind of wants me to talk about. So it's kind of organic. It's like, okay, whatever is in my inbox, I'll talk about, you know, or
Right.
I'll post about, you know?
And then you
Yeah,
work
thank
with
you.
clients. Do you work with
Oh,
clients?
absolutely. Yeah. So
Amazing.
clients, so a lot, I get a lot of referrals, new client referrals from my existing clients, or some clients find me through Instagram usually, but oftentimes they find my landing page on my website through other people, like other clients and stuff. So if anyone's interested in working with me, they can definitely shoot me a DM on Instagram, or there's a contact button on my website.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I feel like it's so valuable. I know you're a practitioner who helps people, but first you were a patient navigating this world. And I think for people who are in that same boat trying to figure out what's going on, it's really powerful to hear a story from someone like you, and especially that has a happy ending and that you really came to a place of healing. And I think it's amazing. So thank you so much for being here and for sharing.
Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Of course. Okay. Bye.
Before you go, there's one last thing. Did you know that we have a swag store now? The Healthy as a Mother store, where we sell amazing merchandise that is fun to wear. We have shirts and hats and sweatshirts. We have drinkware, bags, journals, all of the things that are healthy as a mother or related to motherhood in general. We would love if you could support our podcast by checking out our store. We love doing what we do, and it's really helpful to get the support and also to spread the word and share our amazing brand with the world. And you get some really cool, awesome stuff. One of my favorites is the crop sweatshirt and one of our glasses that we sell that says Healthy as a Mother. I just think it's so great. So head to www.healthyasamother.com/store to check out what we have. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store. And we are absolutely open to feedback. If there's something you would like to see that is not at the store, we can make a lot of different things there. So head over there, check it out, and we would love to see you sporting some Healthy as a Mother gear. And if you take a picture of yourself on Instagram, definitely tag Dr. Morgan and I, and we will be sure to share. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store to check out our merchandise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.